On this episode of To Be Announced, we get into the NFL playoff divisional round, who is the front runner for the NBA MVP, and whose legacy will last in Cooperstown. To Be Announced starts right now. Hey there, and welcome to the first episode of the To Be Announced podcast. I am your host, Alex Barth. I am joined by Snap Call Sports Sports Director Jimmy Young. Jimmy, good to have you on the show.
Happy to be here, Alex. Happy to be in the neighborhood, and I always enjoy talking with you.
And happy especially that we got some games actually worth talking about yesterday for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Before we get to that, real quick, To Be Announced brought to you by Snap Call Sports, available in both the iPhone and Android stores. Snap Call Sports, creating the game within the game. So Jimmy, we'll get it started right down the road here from us. New England and Houston, it looked like the Patriots were in trouble early. Tom Brady does what Tom Brady does, or more specifically, Bill Belichick does what Bill Belichick does, and they pulled it out. A classic coaching win for the Patriots.
In a game that Brady really did not play well, I believe it was the first time he was under 500 passing since like 2003, maybe? I mean, a long time. Brady manages the game to make the plays when he needs to make the plays. He always comes up with a drive where he drives his team down the field. He spreads the ball out, and he's a winner. That's what he does. So give him credit for sure, but even though he did not have a great football game as far as Brady's standards go.
So I guess now the discussion is, did the Patriots play their worst game of the season, or did they get exposed? Everybody's talked about the strength of schedule, and the Patriots didn't play great teams all year. And I think, if anything, Pittsburgh should look at this game and be afraid, because New England come out, play their worst game of the year, turn the ball over multiple times, and still win by three scores, and it's because of the guy under the hood. That was Belichick doing what Belichick does, not to beat that into the ground. But
is he under the hood, or is he in the hoodie?
In the hood, whatever.
He's in the hoodie, yeah.
He made the adjustments. In games like that, you look back at the Iron Bowl this year, Alabama-Auburn. You look back at their game against the Dolphins to begin the season, or two that stick out. Games like that are won and lost at halftime by the coaching adjustments. Huge win for the Patriots that Josh McDaniels is going to stay. It looks like Matt Patricia is going to stay, because you saw just how dangerous that coaching staff could be as a weapon, almost as much as anybody on the field.
Well, they make adjustments, and they make in-game adjustments, and they make the halftime adjustments. Getting back to Belichick a little bit, there's no doubt that this guy has been there before, knows how to win, knows how to game plan. He's going to take one thing away from the other team. And despite playing one of their worst games, like you said, I still maintain you play for the bye week, but the bye week has a little bit of a bad side. When you skip a week of football, you are so tuned as a football player to go in with your routines every single week. Obviously, game times change, venues change. But when you're playing at home, you have a certain routine. It's one of the advantages of playing for that home field advantage. And sure enough, every team that had a bye came out a little rusty, a little flat. That's because their timing isn't as crisp as it would be in a game situation. Because no matter how well you practice, you cannot simulate the game speed and the game intensity. And that's why the Patriots always start slow. I'm going to tell you this right now. Again, they are not going to play a bad game next Sunday. They're going to play their best game of the season, following up what a lot of people think was their worst.
I'd agree with that. And you talked about, what's Belichick going to take away? Well, we got an idea last night about what you need to take away from the Steelers. They didn't score a touchdown. They still managed to win, the first team in NFL history to have their opponent score two touchdowns or more than them in a playoff game and win.
I love
that. Getting right to it, Le'Veon Bell was bullied in that game. He was completely taken out by his own coaching staff. They should have been running it with him down low. I don't understand, when you get inside the 20, why you don't just give it to that guy. And I'll get into in a bit why he's not as good as people say he is, but Antonio Brown is not a red zone threat receiver. He doesn't have strong hands. You saw it last night. He had a sure touchdown punched right out of his mitts. And Le'Veon Bell didn't get used as much as he should have been.
And Antonio Brown's not the brightest guy in the world, I just got to say.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that
one
later.
One of the stupidest things I've ever seen in Facebook Live. Embarrassing his coach and his teammates. Are you kidding? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's go back to your point about Le'Veon Bell. That's the guy. There's no doubt in my mind that Belichick's going to come up with a way to take that away from the Steelers. It makes sense.
And look, Le'Veon Bell didn't...
Let Ben Roethlisberger beat you, which exactly. I think a lot of people are afraid of because of the secondary. But I happen to think the Patriots secondary has been underrated all year, now they're playing well.
You look at Big Ben's home road splits, clearly a home quarterback, has struggled on the road in the playoffs throughout his career. But back to Le'Veon Bell, he didn't invent the start and stop running thing. Go back to 2001, the Patriots. Antoine Smith used to run the ball like that. The difference is Le'Veon Bell's a much better runner once he starts back up again. This is nothing new. He's just the first to do it well in the social media generation when it's so popular and you can get out there about it. Now, Belichick's going to take away Bell and he's going to take away Antonio Brown. I talked about this.
He's going to take away Antonio Brown.
I think Malcolm Butler can. Butler has had a great history against Brown. He might have 9 catches, but it'll be for only about 40, 45 yards. Yeah.
And again, like I said, I think the Patriots' defensive secondary has been underrated all year, and now you're seeing them play their best football. You know, communication in the defensive secondary is probably the most important thing, because what usually happens with football teams is they blow a coverage, which costs a touchdown. The Patriots are really good communicators, and for the most part, I think if you look back at the whole season, I'm going to think about maybe 3 or 4 times where they did blow a coverage, where it did cost them. But again, that is not the norm. That is the exception.
And I talked about this on Snap Call while I was doing the game. When you get into that scenario, a valuable piece can be the tight end. Steelers tight end Jesse James thought he was going to have a big game against the Chiefs. He ends up going off 4 catches. I think he had 60, 70 yards. A good game for a guy they don't use probably as much as they should. Could end up being a deciding factor. Both tight ends could be in this AFC Championship game. Keep an eye out for Jesse James. And real quick, just to get to the Chiefs, year in and year out, I feel like we talk about Andy Reid as one of the premier coaches in the NFL.
I know.
And then this time of
year, I don't talk about that. Right. I just want to say 11-12 in the playoffs, that's not
it's
premier.
It's almost like saying he's one of the best coaches in the NFL, but his one flaw is whatever it was that made last night happen. I don't think anybody knows, but we need Andy Reid, to me, is approaching Jeff Fisher territory. People loved him when he was with the greatest show on turf. When he beat the greatest show, almost beat the greatest show on turf Rams with those Tennessee Titans teams. He made Steve McNair into a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback. But once you saw what he really was, once you kind of stripped the frills away, once you take away Donovan McNabb, Brian Westbrook, maybe he's not all he was cracked up to be. Not the biggest Andy Reid fan here.
No, an average coach can be made by the great players that are surrounding him. But if you have a great coach who is a great teacher, he can then make his team better from September to December.
So before we move on real quick, Steelers opening up 6.5-point underdogs on the road. Who do you have winning? Who do you have in the spread?
You know what? Like I said, I'm not going to go away from the fact that I think you're going to see the Patriots play their best game of the year and go back to the Super Bowl just to drive everybody in America, including Roger Goodell, crazy. It's the best storyline. Interestingly, coming out of the NFC, I think we'll talk about that in a minute, but there are two really good storylines as far as an opponent goes for the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And yeah, I might be getting maybe showing Homer here. I think they're going to cover, and I think they're going to go over. I think you're going to see them play their best Sunday.
I like the Patriots. I think Tom Brady plays a great game. I also think that Roethlisberger plays a great game. I have the Patriots winning by 3. Last-second field goal, back to how they did it beginning of the early 2000s.
So you're going to tell me that their defense is going to be strong enough? I mean,
neither defense is.
I mean, James Harrison, right? He's still in the league, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember him from the highlights of Super Bowl 43.
Neither defense has a great game next Sunday. I think both quarterbacks are playing for their legacy in different ways. Ben is playing to maybe start to itch into Brady's level with a third Super Bowl. And let me tell you something, if Brady wins this game and then wins one more, we're not talking about Brady versus Montana or Elway anymore. We're talking about Brady versus Jordan, Brady versus Ali, the greatest winners of all time. And Brady knows it. Real quick, before we move on to the NFC, once again, To Be Announced is brought to you by Snapcall Sports, available for both iPhone and Android, creating the game within the game. Download it today, play along, and win. In the NFC, first game was kind of a snoozer, so sorry if we breeze over it, but Seattle scores first. Atlanta scores just about everything after that. Highlight for me was watching Russell Wilson trip over his lineman's feet for the safety, and that seemed to signal the end of the Seahawks' so-called dynasty.
Yeah, I never called them a dynasty. They had a great defense, but they got a lot of injuries on that team. And it's one thing, I remember Bill Parcells talking about this in one of his news conferences that I covered back in the 90s. He says, you know, you can do all the preparation. You can have the greatest players in the world. He says, luck and injuries probably have a bigger impact on every game than your game plan itself.
I'll tell you this, it was more than the injuries. Richard Sherman in this game got exposed for the fraud that he is. Sherman is not a top five corner in the NFL. If you put him on one side of the ball and you give him a zone responsibility, he's very good. But they had him follow Julio Jones around. The second you take Sherman off his side, oh, you are in trouble. Julio Jones, second best receiver in the league besides Antonio Brown. And he took Sherman to town, and the Falcons knew it. The Seahawks got exposed. Richard Sherman got exposed. You see what the defensive makeup is, mental makeup, with the way Earl Thomas has acted since he got hurt. The Seahawks got exposed for the team that they are. Michael Bennett going off on a reporter after the game. This is a front-runner team. The second they get behind, the second they face adversity, the Seahawks crumble. And you saw it in what is now the second-to-last game in the Georgia
Dome. Atlanta, I got to tell you, I've always been a disbeliever in the Atlanta Falcons. I think in a lot of ways they are frauds. I will take that back. This team has a very powerful offense. They are to be reckoned with. They do remind me a tad of that Rams team, the greatest show on turf. Matt Ryan having an MVP year, certainly the best of his career. And you know what? If he gets the MVP, deservedly so. I think he's done a great job.
You can't argue with him. There's a couple guys who could
Ezekiel
deserve
Elliott,
it.
Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, you know, running backs don't get any respect in the MVP. It's got to be the best quarterback in the league because, as we know,
he's a rookie playing behind a great offensive line.
I understand.
Line.
The quarterback is the toughest, and it's the toughest position in any sport, all of sport, to master. And it's one of the reasons why you've got an average age of quarterback over 30 years old. Of the last four teams playing, and I think the average is around 33 because you got Brady and Ryan, that's 39 and 30, and then you've got Roethlisberger and Favre in that 33.
Rogers.
What did I say?
Favre.
Well,
here's
Favre?
What's crazy.
Oh my God.
Here's what's crazy.
I just dated myself, didn't
if
I?
You
that's
have,
great.
And I love
that. Was
it.
That was a Freudian slip. I love that.
If you have Patriots, Packers, and Brady Rogers,
right.
The last time the Patriots and Packers played in the Super Bowl
was
Bledsoe Favre, and each team has one quarterback removed since then.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing when you think
about it. It really is.
96?
It really is. 96.
Wow. Only one. Each team has, each franchise has had one other quarterback since then. There's no other team in the NFL can make that claim.
The Bills and Cowboys went back to back, and I don't think the Cowboys had the same quarterback, and that's back to back Super Bowls. Forget 21 years later. So on to the Packers. The best game we saw this year in the playoffs, the best game we've seen in a while in the NFL playoffs. Boy, it's going to be tough to stop the Packers. The over set, the highest over under in a championship game history at 60.5 points. I'm probably taking the over in that one. Rodgers and Ryan duking it out. Here's the crazy thing. Aaron Rodgers, for what he's been the second half of the season, since his declaration of winning out, didn't look great by his standards in this game.
Only because he's got the highest standards.
We still have to pick our jaws up off the floor.
Right. And he's a great quarterback. You know, he can make all the throws. He can get out of the pocket. He can get that first down if he needs to scramble out of the pocket. He has a great feel for the game of football. You know, everybody in this area calls Mr. Brady the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But Mr. Rodgers, right now, I got it right this time. Aaron Rodgers, okay, is playing the best quarterback of anybody's ever played over eight games. And that's not just my opinion.
What about 2007?
You know what? What, for Brady?
For Brady.
I think Randy Moss made Brady. I really do. I think Aaron Rodgers is playing better now than Brady played in 2000. Actually, I think Brady's playing better now than he did in 2007.
You know what? I think you can make that argument.
Yes.
Part of it with Rodgers, too, Brady's always played in a Earnhardt Perkins offense. It's not necessarily susceptible to the run all over the place, wing the ball down the field kind of system that Rodgers is in. Part of it is, I don't mean this to say he's a system quarterback, not at all. He's a product of the system. The Packers offense is built so well for him to be able to improvise like that.
And what does that tell you about the quarterback position? We talked about the longevity of both these guys. They know their systems better than anybody.
And they have coaches that aren't trying to force them to do anything. I think you have a lot of teams. Matt Ryan, part of his problem early on in his career is you had coaches trying to force him to be what he's not.
Right.
Now he's in a role that he can succeed in, and you've seen it throughout the season. Real quick to the Cowboys who got bounced early.
I was so disappointed. Not.
I've heard a lot of people say that this is a moral victory because they hung in it with the Packers. I don't believe any playoff loss is a moral victory. And if you're taking
no player does
if
either,
you
by
see
the way.
Right, if you have a young player like Dak Prescott, say, oh, well, we were close with Aaron Rodgers. Like, that guy's not. That is what quarterbacks like Joe Flacco do. That is what quarterbacks like Tony Romo did. We were close. That's what quarterbacks like Eli Manning do. We were close. I'm happy with it. The moral, there is a moral victory for this in Dak Prescott. It's that when they got down three touchdowns, Jason Garrett didn't put Tony Romo in the game. And he trusted his rookie to bring them back. That's the moral victory for Dak Prescott. There is no moral victory right. in this loss for the Cowboys. It's a game they should have won, and they let it slip away at the end. Who do you have coming out of the NFC to represent?
You know what? I think I'm going to say Packers because of one man, because of Aaron Rodgers. I'll take the Packers. I do. And Atlanta, come on, they don't even care. They're more worried about University of Georgia football.
So here's what I'm going to say is that you give me the Falcons on turf at home, loud dome, I take the Falcons. I don't know how loud that place is going to get. That may be a neutral site game. And if the dome's not going to give Rodgers problems, he's going to eat that Falcon secondary alive. Give me the Packers. I'm going to go 47-40.
Wow. So we're going to see a lot of points. You know,
a lot of points.
It's funny.
And you know what? I did when they met in the regular season, I did the Packers-Falcons game for Snap Call Sports. And you knew right away. It's not a lot of points because they're marching down the field. These teams are taking deep shots, play in and play out. It looks like Big 12 football. You know, like the West Virginia Geno Smith offense. Air it out, air raid, SMU. That's the kind of football we're going to see. Real quick, before we transition, To Be Announced is brought to you by Snap Call Sports, creating the game within the game. Download it today for your iPhone or Android. Play along and win. Jimmy, I know you're a big basketball guy. There's something that's been on my mind. It's been bugging me the last couple weeks. Look, I love the Celtics. Isaiah Thomas is such a fun player to watch. He gives me feelings I haven't had since Paul Pierce. But
you weren't alive. You weren't around to see Tiny Archibald play, were you?
No.
He's a clone. I'm telling you, he's a clone.
And
it's great to
all
watch.
All great players. The Green Teamers are giving the Celtics fans a bad name. They need to cut out the MVP chance at the end of games. Thomas is a great scorer. He is an elite scorer. He is by no means an elite player in this league. I know everybody talks about the weapon he is in the fourth quarter. Again, elite scorer, defensive liability. Stevens has to pull him out for stretches in the fourth quarter because the other point guard is going to match whatever he does. I think Isaiah Thomas can be the second best piece on a championship team, but Boston fans need to stop kidding themselves with these MVP chants.
Al, it's a fan mentality. It's a mob mentality, Alex. You know what? It's fun. This is the first time you've had a player on this team in many, many years where you could legitimately make a case for most valuable player.
I don't think you can legitimately make
sure
a case.
Sure you can. Boston, take him off the team. How do they do? Take him off the team. How did the Celtics do? They don't have a scorer. They need a second scorer.
So
that's why they need Kelly Olynyk to score points.
Kelly Olynyk. They need
Kelly
Olynyk out of town.
No, they don't.
Do you know what Olynyk is Polish for? Could have had Giannis. Two picks later. Olynyk is the softest big man in the league. He's painful to watch. He's a shooting guard trapped in a seven-footer's body. I have never once seen him make a physical play inside the paint.
No.
When does he play defense?
He does play defense. He plays defense on the perimeter as a big guy.
But that's great. They have Avery Bradley. They have Marcus Smart. They have
But they don't have a seven-footer playing perimeter defense.
They don't have a seven-footer playing defense inside. They're getting eaten alive inside. It's been a problem all year.
Your problem isn't with Kelly Olynyk. Your problem is with the guy you spent money on. That our free agent, the savior, Al Horford,
who refuses
to play down low.
But you knew that's what Al Horford was coming in. And part of the reason they went after Horford is to grab that next big guy. But
they need a scorer.
They had a chance at the deadline and at the draft to trade the third overall pick for Nerlens Noel from Philadelphia. A guy who is a banger inside. A guy who is a bully who will protect the rim. Who would you rather have on this team right now, Jaylen Brown or Nerlens Noel?
Nerlens Noel.
Oh, it's not even a question. Right. So back to the original point, though. When you have Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double, you have James Harden doing what he's doing, when you still have Curry, LeBron, Durant hanging on out there, how can you make a case that Isaiah Thomas is the most valuable player in the league, knowing very well that it's not actually the most valuable player, it's the best player?
Right. That being said, I think that his value is greater for the Celtics than it is. And by the way, would he not be the most valuable player on the Celtics?
Well, yes.
So, hey, right there, let him chant. Will you please? Come on.
So we need to interpret the chant as MVP of the Celtics.
Team.
Of the Celtics is in parentheses.
We'll just have to get to a game and start that chant.
I think that needs to be started because we're starting to sound like Bills fans. It's just painfully unrealistic.
All right.
From MVP ballots to ballots cementing a legacy, real quick before we get to that. To Be Announced is brought to you by Snap Call Sports, available for the iPhone and Android. Creating the game within the game. Download today to chat, play, and win. This has been a hot topic as of late. A lot of great baseball writers getting into it. The Hall of Fame ballots this year seems to be the year that it's all going to erupt. You have the steroids guys. You have Schilling. You have Vlad Guerrero, who everybody seems to be very focused on. Let me start with this. The steroids guys who were clearly Hall of Famers before the steroids, Bonds, Clemens, are you a yes or a no?
I'm a yes, and I'm going to tell you why. It has nothing to do with whether you think they took drugs or they didn't take drugs. Bud Selig is now in the Hall of Fame. This all happened on his watch. If the writers think that the guy who's in charge of the game is good enough to get in the Hall of Fame, then don't penalize the guy who was doing it.
Well, let me ask you this.
That's what opens the door.
Are you a yes now or yes, it should have been done?
I'm a yes both times. I am both
times. So you think they've waited too long to let those guys
Absolutely.
In?
These are two of the greatest players that ever played the game. We knew they were Hall of Famers before this whole steroid junk came around. And by the way, it was one of the reasons why I really didn't get into the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa thing. I knew he had Andrew Steendion in his locker. And I was like, I can't get excited
but
about
that's,
this.
That's what kills me. But then how
if
can
everybody's
you say...
doing it, if everybody's doing it, hey, you did it better than me. You win. I don't have a problem.
But if everybody's doing it and McGwire and Sosa got the same results as Bonds almost... How can they not be in? That's the problem I have with that.
Because I think McGwire really was a one-dimensional player. I don't think he hit for average at all. Mark McGwire really reminds me of a guy named Dave Kingman, who had 400 home runs in his career, and that's all he could do. McGwire just doesn't
work. So what about a guy
me.
Like Gary Sheffield?
Marginal.
That's
the easiest way to explain that. And I mean, if I had the numbers, I could look at the numbers and all that. I think the Hall of Fame, if you have the numbers, you should get in. You know who should be getting in?
Who?
Mike Mussina.
I'm kind of on the... I don't know if he's the first ballot guy.
You know what? I got to tell you, he was a dominant pitcher during his time in a division that was the best division in baseball year in and year out, the American League East. You know what? He's got the wins. He should be in. By the way, he should be in. I don't like Curt Schilling. He should be out.
Okay. Well, here's my and that's what I was going to say. Perhaps the most explosive campaign, yes. The most aggressive campaign has been Curt Schilling, yes or no, and he's at the forefront of that. What do you people have against Curt Schilling? Yes, his political views are different. And this is what bugs me.
I don't care about his political views.
So you probably agreed with that piece on SB Nation this week about how the Patriots have a Trump problem?
No, I don't. First of all, I don't believe politics has any role in a locker room. It means absolutely nothing as far as the camaraderie in that locker room, as far as the way they play together, as far as implementing the game plan and executing it to win a game. That has absolutely nothing to do with the outcome. And this is still a free country. Okay.
Look, yeah, that's the point. These guys are private citizens. They're allowed to do what they want. I don't care if you're voting for Trump.
It just so happens that this particular candidate and this particular election really brought out a lot of emotion.
Curt Schilling is the greatest postseason pitcher of his era, if not
of
all time. And
I
will
say Whitey
Ford,
I think he had a pretty good record
in
the postseason.
Over Mariano Rivera, because Rivera only had to do it one inning at a time. Schilling had to do it six, seven, eight innings at a time. Did it on a broken ankle.
I just don't want to see it. He didn't break his ankle. He had a little tendon issue that was taken care of. Hey,
if you're going to let the steroids guys in, how can you not? It's not the Hall of Fame of character. So let me ask you this. Should Ty Cobb be in the Hall of Fame?
No, but he was the original member. He was the most miserable person ever. He was a racist. He was a womanizer. By the way, so was Babe Ruth, I might add.
Okay, so how can you justify saying Curt Schilling doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame?
First of all, I think the character clause is a joke. It shouldn't be in there. I also don't think the writers should be the only people voting.
Well, that's a whole
other
issue.
Okay, which is half the problem.
So, but you're sitting here shooting down the character clause and you're going to tell me that you wouldn't vote for Curt Schilling. The greatest postseason big game pitcher.
I will say this. Would I do it on the first ballot? No. Would I do it on a second, third, or fourth ballot? Probably, you know, because of his post-game performances.
To have the cojones, the plums, to come out, make that Ford commercial about having to go break an 86-year-old curse, and then put up that
Dunkin'
performance.
Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
It was the Ford commercial. He was getting in the Ford truck.
It was Dunkin' Donuts. I remember he was outside his locker. Probably was, but he was outside his locker and he was practicing.
No, this is a different. He had the bag. He was on the side of the road in Phoenix. He's hitchhiking.
I remember
that. The guy drives up in an F-150. Says, "Where are you going to Boston?"
Dunkin' Donuts did it first. Let's see what. Either way, that'll be great. That'll be a great
Schilling
historical fact.
Absolutely deserves to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. The dude is the greatest big game pitcher. Absolutely dominated. Was part of probably the greatest 1-2 punch of his era.
With Randy Johnson.
Twice. Yeah. With Randy Johnson and with Pedro Martinez. I don't understand. Don't agree with his politics, fine. It's not the Hall of Fame of opinions. There's a lot of people who are in Hall of Fames, all rock and roll, Hall of Fame of this, Hall of Fame of that. They don't belong in the Hall of Fame of opinions. They don't belong in the Hall of Fame of choices. But for the Hall of Fame of baseball, you better believe Curt Schilling belongs in.
It's the character clause. I think it needs to go.
Is Terrell Owens NFL Hall of Fame?
No.
Come on!
Yes. By the way, the NFL, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is one of the biggest jokes in a Hall of
Fame. See, I would say the opposite until last year. Well, biggest joke in terms of in which direction?
It's foolish. I think anybody can get in the
NFL
Hall of
Fame. See, I love that. I love that. It's difficult. I'd rather it be where nobody can get in than like the NBA Hall of Fame where you put people in five times. Yao Ming's an NBA Hall of Famer.
Actually, Yao Ming had an incredible impact on the game of basketball while
he
played.
Well, they do the thing as a contributor. I guess that's a different...
That's right, as a contributor.
And I like that, but I like that the... Corey Dillon is not a Hall of Famer, which is awesome to me. Because Corey Dillon was a great player, but he was not up on that pedestal that they're... And that is what sets it apart.
Did he dominate his era? Was he the best in his time as a player is really my definition of... You're in the Hall of Fame.
Real quick, before we go, once again, To Be Announced is brought to you by Snap Call Sports, creating the game within the game, available for iPhone and Android. Download today. You can chat with us. You can chat with some of the guys from 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. Highly recommend it. Good time. My final thought, we are 67 days away from the opening of the Masters. Jordan Spieth has been killing it. Killing it. So I know nobody pays attention to golf this time of year.
But I love golf. I've already seen Justin Thomas hit a 52.
Justin Thomas shot, something 59. Insane, right? 59. I cannot wait to see the Spieth redemption story. I've been waiting on it since he bottomed out last year. Boy's coming back and Tiger's back.
Let's 20-1 odds back. To win the Masters.
For who? Tiger?
Tiger.
You got to take that. You got to take that and then some.
Because if there's anybody that can do it, it's him. He's got to play a couple of tournaments before to really prove it to me. But I think if he plays well in these couple, that 20-1 is going to come down.
It's endurance. He played well for 3 days, and then he kind of petered out in the fourth. If he can get the endurance out. You got 67 days, so hurry up and get that in before it goes up.
I thought you were going to go with opening day or pitches and catches report or something like that.
Nope, 67 days to the Masters.
You threw me a curve, Alex. That was awesome.
I saw it during the football games yesterday, and I got so excited because I started thinking warm weather, started thinking spring, summertime, all that. All right. That is going to do it for Jimmy Young. I am Alex Barr. Thank you for tuning in to the first episode of To Be Announced. We'll see you next time.